Every once in a while, you just kind of want to get the album down, look, and see what you find. I said to myself, I already told my wife, I said, I'm going to look at the old pictures again this Christmas. It's been 5 or 6 years since I looked at our old pictures. And I'm going to look at them this Christmas. But here's a picture of Mom. Mom in 1931 began to seek the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Lived way back in the woods. And they all got stirred up over in our part of the country. And she started seeking the Lord. She got the Holy Ghost, but she had a problem understanding the Godhead. She just couldn't grasp it. And she was already thrown out of the denominational church. So she really needed to understand if she could. And so the preacher, I can tell, was very wise. They finally got a preacher to come and hold them a revival. And when they was under the brush arbor, he assigned different ones scriptures to read. And he assigned my mother, John, 1 Timothy 3:16. Preachers, you have to watch them. Because I knew he probably knew she was struggling. And so she was sitting there, and I'm sure she had prayed all day, because that's what they were doing about the time, was praying. No matter what else they started to do, they stopped and started praying. And so finally the preacher said, Sister Bertha, and she said, and without controversy, right, without controversy, you know how that's the way they used to preach, huh? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. And my mother jumped up through the Bible and screamed as loud as she could. She got it.
Hallelujah.
Revelation. A revelation. We do so much teaching now, and it works, but there has to be also sometimes a divine revelation. And this is what folks argue with us about, that there is a divine revelation. And it's the ones that's arguing is not just Trinitarians, but it's people who should know better. And so she had a divine revelation, and her parents rejected her. And for life, they never forgave her. And she was a sensitive person. She was a person that loved everybody, and she loved her parents. But they never, ever again loved her back. 94 years old, we buried her last year. And that week, someone had come into her room. And in her childhood, maybe she was childish, but she cried. She wept because her parents never loved her. The day she died, someone said to her, "Hey, Bertha," they were standing around her bed, "you've had the Holy Ghost a long time." She said, "Yes, I have." But she said, "It's just as good today as it was when I got it." Revelation, still necessary. Brother V.A. Goodrose was the state district superintendent of Texas for many, many years. He was a mentor to me. And Brother Gidrose and his wife come from Catholic and Methodist background. And he came out of Catholic Church and the Vatican and was their headquarters. They didn't have a headquarters in Hazelwood. They had headquarters at the Vatican. And Brother Gidrose come out of that church and pastored a little church, a little small church. The back of the church extended over a bayou, and half of it was over a bayou. You didn't shout backwards. You had to shout totally in the front. And one day, after going off and preaching and coming back, the church people had put all of his furniture right out in the middle of the road and said he was no longer their pastor anymore. Did he go back to the Vatican? No. He picked up his furniture. Did he get upset? Because I'm sure he was upset, but there's nothing worth going back on God. Nothing worth losing your soul over. And he was willing to suffer the approach that he might have. And so what I'm thinking about is, I hear these things about go back, go back. Peacefully coexist with. Could we ask him to go back? No. There's nowhere to go. To whom would we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. Now, Mike Kilgore is here in our Bible school. And this church right here, that's the church that, the Catholic Church, the exact Catholic Church that Mike Kilgore came out of. Mike Kilgore is the only one of his family that is saved. He stands alone. He's from Rex Johnson's church. He stands totally alone. Are we going to ask Mike Kilgore to flirt with the Catholic Church, with the Trinitarians? No. We couldn't ask him to. You know, in Houston they have, and several places they have, big Catholic churches where it's just almost as identical to Pentecost as they can get. But one thing they always do, they stop right in the middle of everything and say the rosary. No. When you come out, stay out. Somebody said we need to try to hide our identity in order to infiltrate. And if we do that, we'd need to drop apostolic and we'd need to drop the word oneness. That's so frightening to me. James Kilgore, where are you? Mike Kilgore, where are you? Mike, are you here? Mike, stand up. We're rooting for you, boy. You see, when I heard the other day, well, in fact, this a man told me, he said, hey, Reverend, he said, you know, it's a strange thing. He said he was from the nominal world. He said, you know, whenever one of our preachers die, he said, unless they're real popular, a lot of times no other preacher comes to their funeral. But if they're real popular, maybe two or three of the local preachers will come. But he was there at one of our funerals. He said, but you folks fly in from all over the world. And you take 3 and 4 hours to have a funeral. We've all got the same DNA. We're family. We're family. I want to tell you, we better keep it that way. There may be a catastrophe in this country sometime where when you're all from home, we may have to all get together to rake up an offering to get you home. We need family. One afternoon in East Texas, they were having a sectional conference. And they were almost through with the business. Everybody was tired and sleepy. And an old man walked in. And he said, "Could I say something?" The presbyter said, "Yes, you can go ahead and say something." He said, "Well," he said, I keep the cemetery out here." And he said, "There's an old preacher that's buried out there that doesn't have a headstone. And he's one of your preachers." Said, "What's the possibility? I thought maybe you might want to take up an offering." And they said, "Well," the presbyter said, "does anybody know this old brother?" And there was a man stood up about 45 years old. He said, "Yes, I know him." He said, "When I was a boy, I knew him." Said, "One day we walked on our front porch and this old preacher was laying there all beat up, bloody, and bruised." And said, "He had been holding revival, a tent revival. And the townspeople didn't like it because people was getting the Holy Ghost and their wives was changing up and all of this." And he said, "So they beat him and drug him to town behind the car." And said, "He lay in our back room for 3 weeks. We didn't know if he was going to live or die. My mother didn't do anything but attend to him." And said, "After a while, he got better. He got well." And said, when he got well, it was time to put in a crop. And said, he helped us get the crop in. And said, after we got the crop in, he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to be leaving you folks. We'll thank you for your hospitality." They said, "Oh, no, stay with us." "No," he said. Well, they said, "Well, what are you going to do?" "Well," he said, "somebody's got to go back and start that revival back up." There's nowhere to go. We gotta stay with it, folks. We have to stay with it. I was sitting on a couch at the general conference at the hotel lobby, and there was a man came in. He sat down and he said, "How are you, Brother Marla?" I said, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time." He said, "17 years. That's how long it's been." He said, "I just wanted to come back and visit." And we sat there, and he saw everybody come in. And he said, "Is that so-and-so?" "Yeah, that's him." "My, I got to talk to him before I leave. Where is so-and-so?" And he just kept on. And we must have sat there for an hour. Even though he had dropped everything. Everything. He still had the same DNA. We buried one of our uncles, my uncle this week. He left home 50 years ago and didn't come back. But he wanted to be buried in our old cemetery. Same DNA. It didn't mean that he was really a part of the family, but yet at the same time, you never get away. You're never happy. Amen. You're never happy. So, I want to just say one thing in closing here. I want to say that when you go to churches that have dropped all standards and all doctrine, it's just not the same feeling. There's something missing about it. And I want to tell you, it takes the doctrine to put that certain ingredients in a service to make it feel right. God bless you.